As a captain, a flight nurse in the Air Force, I received 10 vaccines in one day, became vaccine injured, and started my investigation because I did not deploy to Iraq during Desert Storm. So I figured something else happened to me and many of the other nurses that I served with. And sure enough, it was the vaccines. And my intent effort to try and expose what's been going on in the military with vaccines is another issue. And GulfWarVets.com is a website dedicated to that. But the children, the children in the military also that have a higher incidence of autism. I was telling Polly about a nurse that I know who has three autistic children, and she learned it from the GI problems that they were having. And that's sort of how you came into this. Do you want to explain to the listeners how you determined that it was probably the gastrointestinal system that had something to do, or the MMR, with the vaccines and autism?
Certainly. I'm a gastroenterologist, as you said, and I was working in London. I ran a large research team looking at Crohn's disease, and parents started calling me and saying that their child was developing perfectly normally, had received the MMR in many cases and regressed into autism, and at the same time had developed severe gastrointestinal problems, very much like Billy, Polly's son. And these clearly were indicative of an underlying disease process, but nonetheless, the medical profession had said, that's just autism, get over it, move on. Well, it clearly wasn't. These children were suffering, they were in pain, they were doubled over, they had terrible diarrhea, they were failing to thrive, they were not meeting their physical milestones. So there was something clearly wrong, and we investigated them. The mothers were right, the parents were right, the children had an underlying intestinal inflammation that was amenable to treatment. And when we treated the inflammatory bowel disease component with dietary restrictions, anti-inflammatory medication, nutritional supplementation, then and probiotics, then we saw a substantial improvement not only in the gastrointestinal symptoms, but also the behavioral symptoms. And that was a fascinating observation. It was rather like a Lorenzo's oil, if you like, you know, that sort of dramatic and somewhat unexpected improvement in cognitive function and developmental gains.
What you stand for, you gotta fight for what you believe. You gotta value what has value. Know what to lose now and know what to gain. And in the long run, you will be smiling with the ones you love do the same. You gotta stand for what you stand for and never be ashamed.
Welcome to the Cox and Kerr Radio Show, cnkshow.com, on this beautiful April 25th, 2016, in downtown Eagleton Village, which is in East Tennessee. We're excited to be here today. It's you know, we do this show every 2 weeks. Right now, 5:30 through 6:30 on the second and fourth Monday of each month. So we're a little late getting started today, but hopefully you're getting a chance to tune in. And we do have these archived at the cnkshow.com website. I hope you enjoyed that music. That was our guest today. His composition, it's on his CD called Stand for What You Stand For. You know, we're at an age now where the big majority have gone silent. And many of the scriptures say it's a sin to remain silent when you need to speak up. That's you can go to the handofhelp.com website, hand like your hand on your right or left, of help.com. And we've been friends of Gene Schmidt for some time. Gene's a musician and helps Michael Baldea with the Hand of Help Ministry, and also does work in Nashville that you just heard on that beautiful song with a message beyond the normal. Gino, are you with us today?
I'm with you, brother.
Well, great. What'd you think of that song?
I think the message is spot on.
Yeah.
Stand for what you stand for. Yep.
Well,
don't cower at the threat of whatever the world tries to do to us to silence us.
Well, you know, I've always admired people that would stand for what they stand for, and I guess I'll even give credit to the what I call the fringe, which are being promoted as mainstream. We've got newspaper stories in Tennessee here of people laying in the streets at the University of Tennessee. There's probably 25,000 students there, but it seems to be the 50 or so they can cram into a photograph laying on their backs and stomachs to protest the use of the word he and she seem to be getting all the attention. So they're standing for what they stand for, but I mean, it's I can't even believe we're having this conversation, Gino. What in the world is going on before we have to duct tape our heads together to keep them from exploding?
Well, Revelation 18 says Babylon has fallen, and become basically a place where every evil spirit was operating in some form. And our culture, our liberal and very liberal, anti-God, anti-Bible thought in colleges and around America, the thought that we should not only give gays the opportunity to marry, but there's no stopping the proliferation of evil if it's not stopped and not opposed, like they do in Russia. Why aren't they doing this in Russia? I'll tell you exactly why they're not doing the same thing in Russia. Because Russia has three family values laws. Number one, they value marriage between a man and a wife. They value not having illicit materials in public, and they do not allow gays to march down the street. But in America, you have a Supreme Court that overturns the will of 33 states that voted to support traditional marriage, millions of votes, Democratic votes, and a court of 9 people with a 5-4 decision overturns that. And our country's headed towards the road of anarchy and revolution. And it's so divided, and it's would not take much for America to have what Dimitri Dudeman said would happen, a civil war. And Revelation says Babylon has become, it was in Jeremiah 51, it was a golden cup in the Lord's hand. But it's also a country that has corrupted a lot of the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it paints a picture of a fallen nation that allows evil of an unprecedented level, which becomes its destruction and its demise, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Ultimately, they became so evil, the wicked men wanted to rape or were possibly even at a point of assaulting angels. And the angels of God had to blind them. And it's the way it is with America. It evil is trying to push its way in the door through the courts and legislation, and that's an indication of the America falling like a star from its values, from its heritage. And it's like watching, literally, looking back and seeing a house being filled with natural gas, and yet the residents inside go, oh, no, it smells like roses in here. It's surely not going to blow off.
Oh,
all
gosh.
All of a sudden, kaboom, the very people that can't smell the stink die in it. And it's somewhat similar to allowing evil when you call it good. Well, unto them to call good evil and evil good. And we're in the smelly, we're in the, you know, our country is smelling in a way, or it has this smell of sin, like the gas. But it's trying to legalize it and call it a rose and say it's okay and society should be tolerant, and then the house blows up. And that's what happens. It's like the frog in water. The frog will literally die in the water. As that water heats up, it will not jump out of the water. If it heats up gradually, it will die in the water. As that water gets hot, it will die, and it's like America. And God warned about this country through these vessels of God, through Wilkerson, Dudeman, and others. And you know what's shocking? What's shocking the most is we're seeing it in front of our eyes now. We're seeing the tangible things in play and happening where God said this country would one day be judged and be punished because of these sins. And these sins are proliferating, and these sins are being legislatively supported. And God doesn't support evil. God doesn't, you know what, you can make laws till you're blue in the face. If it goes against the law of the Bible, then God will one day punish and judge, especially a country that should know better. And people, the whole bathroom thing is laughable, and it's criable, you know, on either realm. It's laughable in the sense that we've become so dumbed down as a country that we literally will threaten boycotts and governors who sign bills that say, no, according to your gender, that's what the bathroom you use. An argument that 50 years ago would have been considered mental illness, literally.
Well, you know? Now it's like the most number one important thing in our nation to be concerned about. It's, you know, along with the deflated footballs that Tom Brady through for the New England Patriots. You know, when you talk about the insanity we live in, I thank God that I was raised to be able to think, and it almost got me too, Gino. I'll never forget when I started college in the early 70s, and all the professors in unison said, hey, you probably were raised to believe that there's a God. Well, guess what? There's good news here at the university. There's not. And there's no consequences either. And I thought, man, this is tickling my ears. This sounds like a good doctrine. Yeah, it just happened. You evolved. Go down to the strip, have a good time, and stop worrying about, you know, any of those moral hang-ups you might have. And that's what freshmen get in college. That's why their parents are freaked out when they get the phone call late at night. And it's been going on. It didn't just start. I just mentioned all this he and she being big in the media. This is an old hard-working group of evil that's been diligent, more diligent than the majority of decent, God-fearing, Bible-believing folks. And we're getting what we deserve at this point.
It's the same thing with Roe versus Wade. Where was the church? You know, are you kidding that in a country that claims to have in God we trust to be a Judeo-Christian country, and then we kill our preborn? That should have, if you do that in a Muslim country, if you would allow gay marriage in a Muslim country, within 2 days, they would take the law in their own hands, and it wouldn't happen. And you know, you got Roe versus Wade, you've got the gay marriage thing, you've got taking the Bible out of public schools, you've got the separation of church and state. And so America's been on a collision course for 30, 40 years, and now it's just emanating to a point that it's so obvious, even to the diehard cynic who said, oh, no, our country will never see judgment, or our country will never, you know, we're like the apple of God's eye. You'd have to be blinder than a bat to think that today. We're not the apple of God's eye. We're going to be an example of what happens when you disobey God blatantly and come against the things of God. And the great sin today in the churches, we're too silent about it. You know, we need more Kim Davises out there. We need more people going, you know what, I'll take a jail cell for God. I'm going to oppose the thing at Target. I'm not going to have them slam dunk a value on me that I don't believe in, that I have to be forced literally to let my daughter go into a girl's bathroom and a guy walks in because he thinks he's now a woman. And, you know, Mike Baldea wrote a blog about the whole thing. He challenged people in the blog, and he said, you know, he made a good point. He said, you know, once someone's assaulted in one of those bathrooms, take the Target president and CEO and put them in a closed room with that father. And just let the father mete out whatever justice he thinks, you know, due for such a stupid, evil thing to subject our school kids to this insane nonsense. If they can't learn in public school what male and female is, we've lost the battle, you know?
Well, in our own little state, I kind of bring it back to Tennessee because that's where we originate from today. I know you're up in Wisconsin. But, you know, we've just had a bunch of legislation. One was to say that the Bible was our book, just like we have the iris for our flower and the Rocky Top for our state song. Well, our fine Christian governor voted against it, which I know I go to the same church he goes to. I thought he said it was the Bible was too important to trivialize by saying it's, you know. I'm thinking, what's double talk is that? I mean, and then we have the women in men's rooms and girls in boys' rooms. It's a big topic, and all these big corporations are coming against Tennessee, saying, "Don't touch it. You'll end up like North Carolina. Bruce Springsteen won't come, and other concerts will cancel." It's like, I just can't believe this is happening. There's a line in a Shakira song, Gino, that says, "Unos cuantos nos manejan como fichas de Jerez," which says in English, "A few manage us like pieces on a chessboard." It's a tiny group doing this, and if we learn from history, and the movement of socialism, communism, and total dictatorial control, it's the same thing over and over, and its main tool is to have a underclass, which we didn't really have in this country. It's why communism couldn't quite function here so well. And we had great black neighborhoods in the 60s in Knoxville. I've got good friends, and we talk about it. You know, they remember. They remember good, safe neighborhoods that don't exist anymore. And we've sent so many jobs out of this country. We do have the formula, which has been used over and over again, to say there's all these evil haves, and if we can just get rid of them like they did in the Ukraine, they got to the point, Gino, where if someone had two sheep and one cow, that meant they were rich, and that meant to haul them into the town square and spray them with water when it was sub-zero temperatures to kill them as an example, freeze them to death. I mean, that's where this heads, this class warfare that's just being poured on top of us. But I've said my little piece for the day, although I'll let Tim here say, what do you see on that sign there? I'm giving a Spanish lesson today, Tim.
Oh, I see solísimo.
O muerte.
O muerte.
What do you think muerte means?
Oh, boy.
It means death. Socialism or death. I think Bernie Sanders ought to get this picture of Castro on his placards.
I thought that was a very handsome man there in that photograph.
I actually took that photo myself in Cuba when we went there on a missionary trip. But this is a dangerous...
Well, it's an oxymoron, Chris, because socialism basically is death.
Well, it's
look at Venezuela. They're
well, that's
they're dead. I mean, their economy's shot. They can't even they can't even pump oil that they've got to make money.
Well, and I brought
now, how does that happen?
I brought the article in from Drudge Report today that the utopia has ended, and it's written up called "Utopian Road to Hell" by Murray, William Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, and they have horrific problems in Venezuela now. It was a first world Latin American country,
but it's a utopia now.
Well, they don't have electricity. They got widespread
That's
sickness.
Utopia.
They have dirty air. The water is polluted, and the inflation's running triple digits. There's no medicine, food, and
no. Wait a minute. Is that America or is that Venezuela?
That's Venezuela, but okay. This is
parts
this,
of America. I know.
Well, this is prologue to U.S. us.
Well, yeah, it's
And then, last but not least, there's no toilet paper. That's what we have to look for if we can get all this wonderful utopian things installed, Gino. So, take us where we need
to go. Well, you got to lower your carbon footprint, Chris. And I want to say, hey, Gino, I've enjoyed the show so far. Sorry, everybody, I was late. I know you missed me desperately. I was doing my Chris Kerr impression, and coming in
fashionably
late. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we can go to the prom now, Tim.
Let's get down to business.
Well, here's what's coming to my mind. Bernie Sanders, if he would have ran against Ronald Reagan, wouldn't have had a prayer. What has changed in America? It's two or threefold what's changed. First of all, the biggest change in America has been the church. The church one day was a vanguard against evil. The church was a bulwark. You look at today's church versus the Book of Acts church, and it's like mice compared to men. You know, to me, the gay marriage thing that passed in the Supreme Court should have caused an uproar for months and months and months from the church.
Well, Gino, the church has been castrated.
Yeah, I mean, that's one issue that Mike addresses, Mike Bobea, you know, that our sin is our silence. And here's another thing, the endorsement of the church of what's evil. Classic example, you don't see gay pride parades or gay pride flags on too many business lawns, but you see them on church lawns. You see churches marching in those gay pride parades with their church banners. You see, you know, governor of Tennessee who says, no, I'm not going to make the Bible the official book. Okay, well, you're not relegating the Bible to a knickknack. You're relegating the Bible to a book of importance. You're saying in our state, the word of God matters. And to cower and go, I'm not going to sign that, is the problem God has with the church. We don't stand up when our backs are against the wall and Bruce Springsteen threatens to pull a concert and Disney says we're not going to employ people and the NCAA says we're not going to have our NCAA finals there. You know what I tell them? Go ahead. God will replace it. God will bring decent people here. You know what I'm saying? And it's just we don't have the backbone. We don't have the fortitude. And the second thing is the culture of America is a festival.
Can write it down.
The MTV,
the question.
VH1 culture is a joke. Oh. You know what it's all about? And television is full of witchcraft, sorcery. It's become flagrant porn. You know, you look at National Geographic, Naked and Afraid. Oh, yeah, we really need a show about a National Geographic channel with a show called Naked and Afraid. You look at the violence. You look at the crime. You look at inner city of Chicago. There's parts I wouldn't even walk down. Quite honestly, they're worse than Baghdad. And America's imploding. Our culture, classic example of our culture. All you've got to do is look at what the kids are feeding their minds on today. You know? And God warned us in the Bible. God warned our country. He said, you know, throughout Scripture, which happened to Israel. Israel became very evil and very accepting of evil, and it cost them dearly. And we're not the Nineveh. We're not a country that's repenting. We're not a country that's valuing the preborn. We don't value traditional marriage like we should. We don't value the very values that, guess what, America used to push.
Hey, Gino, the big problem is... most of America doesn't even know that. They don't know that they're not valuing it. They don't know anything. People, I've got to tell you, I don't know what people are thinking. I'll have to tell you what happened to me yesterday. I went to a dance recital for my granddaughters. Okay?
Sounds pretty benign.
It was disgusting.
Oh, gosh.
Children, young teenagers, hip-hop thrusting and all sexual innuendo and these tiny little kids. And thank God my grandkids didn't do anything like that. But they're going to be doing it if they're not removed from that environment. And the parents sitting there and grandparents sitting there and applauding the lewd, lascivious behavior of these young girls, a few young men, but mostly young women. It was disgusting, and I had to leave. I had to leave. I got through to where my granddaughters, and I said, I can't watch this anymore. It was detestable.
Well, you need to get back in the hot water, Tim. Sounds like you jumped out. You're not boiled yet.
No, I was disgusted. I was disgusted. And these kids in college down here laying on the street for, I don't know if they know what they're thinking. They're not thinking. They don't have a brain.
Well, I agree. And here, you know, let's go back to the Bible about it. Revelation 18, Jeremiah 51. America was a golden cup in God's hands. America was a country that did at one time know better.
Was.
We cared about values. We cared about morality. You've got the World War II generation where a lady dressed decently, where, you know, men were men, women were women. We had masculinity. We had femininity. We had moral values, schools that really wanted the Bible in them. We had public decency. In fact, in those days, even outside of Christian values, the country as a whole in the older days, in the older generation, were people that, you know what, they cared about those values, even because they were grandma's values and they were grandpa's values. And you're right, parents will watch that stuff and not think twice about it. And I agree. I think we've become callous. I think we've become indifferent. I think we've allowed the educational system to really, you know, as far as the whole liberal thought in colleges today, you know, it's like in Florida. What happened? A kid wrote Jesus' name on a piece of paper in a school. What'd the teacher do? She grabs it, throws it on the floor, and stomps on it. Don't do this in class. Okay. A few months ago, I wanted to do an inspirational concert at our high school here in where I live in Watertown. The minute I mentioned inspirational, oh, no, we've got to go through the board. We've got to go through the principal. And we've literally relegated God to be a God of, you know, how can I put, almost like Baal. In a way, we value our idols and the things of God. We try to take out of school. We take, you know, when Prince dies, oh, that's news for the world. Oh, Prince died. But how about when our country is falling and our values are being trampled in the street, you know? And it's what God said, you know, God said to Dimitri, and Mike's been blowing a trumpet. Mike's been pretty tough lately about it. I mean, he's been challenging the Christians in the church on radio and other things, and you know, Mike's saying, you know what, I'm not going to pacify the situation. The church is sleeping in the light. The church is snoring. The church is lacking power.
And judgment's coming.
Conviction. The church is lacking purity. The church is lacking holiness. The church is some are turning churches into more of a model of a country club than a Book of Acts church.
They're lacking Jesus.
Yeah, well, that's what it boils down to. And God, you know, when he sent the prophet to Nineveh, the prophet Jonah said, you know what, in 40 days this will happen. And, you know, if Jonah came to America today, the question is, what would it be our response? Oh, sorry, Jonah, Supreme Court made that law. We can't listen to what you're telling us. And that's the danger for America. The great sin of America is pride.
No, Jonah would be a terrorist, and he would put in prison without a trial. He would be put in Guantanamo.
Yeah, because look at our pride as a country. You know, we pride ourselves in how great we are. We pride ourselves as being some form of moral compass. We pride ourselves as all these things when God says, no, no, you're not what you think you are. Without me, you're nothing. Without me helping you, you're nothing. And we need a revival of, yes, getting back to Christ. Christ is not preached in a lot of churches anymore. We've had people contact our ministry going, I go to a church and I barely hear Jesus' name mentioned. And Mike's heard that on his touring. And he was at a Hear the Watchman conference, and he challenged everyone there, you know, let's get back to Jesus. Let's get back to preaching Christ. Let's get back to living for the Lord. Let's get back to walking for the Lord. And that's exactly what I think would bring America back, is to turn our hearts towards God, like 2 Corinthians 7:14, you know, getting back to God in repentance and getting back to God in humility, you know.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
People called by my name, what? Humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. God asked us to do things before he always does things. And, you know, he's blessed America, and he's been there for our country. But right now, you look at, I would love to see just, you know, you look at the college campuses when people go and preach, when people try to share the Lord there. Young people want to do in Pennsylvania. They want to have a meal for Jesus for lunch. Hundreds of kids want to come. The school district sues them. Says, no, you can't do that, even though it's on their lunch hour. And we're making war against the things of God. We don't want the Ten Commandments in Judge Moore's rotunda down in Alabama. And, of course, we'll allow the Baphomet statue to be put up in Detroit, and some guy can run over the Ten Commandments monument in Oklahoma City, but the Satanists are allowed to put it next to the Ten Commandments. This is absolute lunacy.
Absolutely lunacy. They're going to bring in the Temple of Baal, and
like in the days of Baal.
It's you know, everything, just like the Bible said, everything is upside down.
There you go.
Black is white. I mean, right is wrong. Yep. It's people don't. I worry about. I truly worry about the future of this country, because the nonsensical stuff and the sheer emptiness in the brains and the eyes of the people that I meet, for the most part,
mm-hmm.
are, especially young people, they have no clue. I mean, they don't even know who they are or where they are half the time. Mm-hmm. And they're not even on drugs. They are so dumbed down and do not, and so ignorant. I won't say they're stupid. They are so ignorant. And you can only blame it on our churches and on our schools. And most importantly, on our parents that haven't taken the time to train those children the way they should go.
Here's an example. Let me give a couple examples about it, just to make some points about it. You know, look at Governor of Tennessee. Okay, he can't sign to make the Bible the official book of Tennessee. When the gay marriage thing happened, I called many Christian clerks. I said, you know what? Don't sign, especially in Wisconsin, don't sign the gay marriage licenses. Oppose it. Take a stand. And the word that I got back was, oh, it's the law now. I've got to do it. It'll hurt my job. It'll hurt my job standing. Well, I called Kim Davis up several weeks before she was put in jail. I called her up at the county place where she worked, and I said, you know, Kim, take a stand for God. Tell him no. You're not going to sign the licenses. You're going to defend the Bible. And you know what she told me? That's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what my thoughts have been to do. And, you know, look at the testimony God gave that lady to simply say no, even though they had a Democratic governor threatening her, even though the Court of Appeals threatened her, even though legislators threatened her. She stood her ground and sat in jail 4 or 5 days. And you know what? Number one, she didn't cave in. God did defend her. And now today they have a Republican governor of Kentucky who says he's a Christian, who made a law saying county clerks that are Christians don't have to sign those things. And so when you stand up for God and you say, hey, you know what? We're going to make the Bible the official book.
One person trusted God and took a stand.
One person.
We don't have, we've been castrated. Christianity in this country, the men have been castrated, and everyone's afraid to take a stand, and everyone's afraid to sit here like I am and talk on the radio and say that because they're afraid of some phantom menace, and they're not, they just refuse to trust God. I just trust God. I just trust God. Whatever comes, comes. Whatever comes, comes. And whatever happens, happens. And God is my defender. He is my defense. And he is Lord in this world. And we just don't understand. Most Christians don't understand the power that God has because we don't let him exercise it and be patient in our lives for it.
Brother, I've been threatened in my hometown. They wanted to put a 2,200-square-foot, triple-X-rated adult section family video. Me and my pastor went to the city, and we said, several years ago when they threatened to do it, we said, you know what? We're going to oppose it. We might be the only two in town, but we're standing against it. We don't think this is good for our town. And after that, many Christians got behind it. Over 2,000 people signed petitions supporting the, you know, not having it there. And when I called Family Video up to the vice president, the guy says, hey, I am a Christian, but, you know, I've got to follow company policy. And you know what I told him? I said, who do you think you're going to stand for, stand in front of when you die? The president of Family Video or the God of heaven? And second of all, are you going to give account for every kid you caused to stumble? Are you going to give account for the ramifications of your decision? And you know what they did? Within a month, they backed down. It was in the front page of our paper, and they decided not to.
Well, if you're going to do that, don't call yourself Family Video either.
Well, bro, but here's the deal. Will not God stand with us if we oppose things?
He will.
Let God defend us.
He's told us to.
Well, the problem is when we start sweating, we go, oh, no, no. God forbid that I offend someone, although what my pastor said yesterday made sense. We're more afraid of offending people than how we've offended God. And I think that's a brilliant statement.
That's the absolute truth.
And the bottom line is this. Here's another point. They wanted to put a strip club 100 feet from our church. And I called the owner and I go, if you do that, we will be there day and night picketing. We will be there day and night. And you're going to read a lot about Jesus on our billboards and our signs. And he backed down. It can be done. But if we just whimper about things and if we take it lightly and we go, oh, let go, you know, some other Christian will go and do it or someone else will be a big mouth. And we end up persecuting the Christian that stands up against it as if they're the ones that are evil. And we go, oh, no, it's the law. Well, what happens when they make a law, you know, to do something so inherently against the Bible? Like if they made a law, take the mark of the beast. Is the church going to go, well, that's a law. I got to do it.
Most of them will.
Well, the bottom line is this. God,
and most of the pastors will be leading them because they're the clergy response team.
Yeah, it depends on the interpretation of Romans 13, Tim. If you interpret it to mean that when a Hitler gets in power, you need to get behind him because he's a government agent, then you'll go along with this. But it's pretty clear if you read the whole book and have that hermeneutics. Way it's taught that it shouldn't contradict itself. No, you shouldn't stand behind an evil authority. You should stand against it. You should expose the evil authority.
The problem is, Chris, that you and I have a mind and we can read and reason and understand a little bit. I'm not a genius by any means.
You're pretty close.
But I can. I've been blessed with some minimum of common sense. And it seems to me that the people in these United States are the government, and our elected officials, which we call the government, are supposed to be our servants, and they are bound by what is called the Constitution of the United States, which is in fact the law of the land. And when they violate that, they are violating their authority,
Tim,
which makes it moot. And that's what
court decisions
have said. I'm sorry. It's in black and white.
You need to watch some more TV and some more cop shows. I mean, we have now, when you get to the door, you kick it down. You don't get any warrants. And even if you watch your TV shows like a little Hawaii Five-O, you'll find they don't even limit it to U.S. territories. They get on the planes and fly to other countries and kick those doors down. I mean, that's the new paradigm that we have here, and it's good.
The law is what we say it is.
Yeah.
That's what our leaders say. The law is what we say it is, no matter what the law is.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Line. America's like the Titanic right now. You know, God said if it doesn't listen and repent, it's going to sink. Well, you know what? If the people on that ship would have known that boat was going to sink before they left harbor, and then they were absolutely certain it's going to sink, I doubt a lot of them probably wouldn't have been on board, but there still would have been some that probably would have still been on board. But the thing about it is God has said to call America back to repentance. God is calling the country to turn back to him. And it's not what I see, it's what God sees. It's what God observes with our country and with the people. And when he says you've fallen, when he says you're like Sodom and Gomorrah, or, you know, you've become indifferent towards the things of God, and that the watchman has a duty to blow a trumpet and to blow it loud and hard, because what's coming to America, I'll tell you what, the worst punishment's going to be on the Christians that knew better.
Well, we're blowing that trumpet hard right now, and if America is a Titanic, we're stern up looking at the stars and getting ready to break in half.
Yeah, we're hanging.
That's where we're at.
We're hanging on the rail.
You know, God's a lifeboat at this point. The country's gone.
We're hanging vertically on the rail, Tim, and the boat broke in half, I think. But, you know, let's bring our listeners a little bit up to date on the wonderful ministry of Demetra Dudeman, Gene, tell our listeners, you know, how the socialism was working for Demetra when he was over in Romania. And his wonderful ministry that he came to warn this country so that some might repent and turn from their wicked ways and have their land healed.
Well, I want to give hope to people, too, and I'll get into that in 1 minute here. But I want people to know that no matter how far you've fallen from God, get back to God and get back to Jesus. You know,
amen.
Jesus never stops forgiving, and Jesus... You know, this is the hour not only to warn and blow a trumpet, but it's the hour to tell the prodigal, the backslider, the one who's lost faith, the one who's lost hope, there's hope in Christ, first of all. I want to make that foremost.
Hallelujah.
My message tonight. The second thing is Demetra Dudeman was a Bible smuggler, and it was illegal in Romania to give Bibles out publicly. It was an underground church because it was a communist country, and he ultimately got put in prison for it. He got beaten, he got tortured, and electrocuted twice on an electric chair, and God spoke to him that he wouldn't die. And through all the torture, the hunger, the beatings and everything, he never renounced his faith. Ended up, the head of the prison he was in died. He ended up being taken out of the prison and several months in a bed, you know, suffering. God healed him one night. And God brought him to America. God gave him a message for America, and he was an inspiration to work with because he was humble, he was obedient, he was a mouthpiece for God, and he was also a watchman that didn't care what people thought. He cared about what God thought. He did not, you know what, he spoke exactly what God showed him. He was gifted in the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God and started a ministry called Hand of Help, to help the orphans in Romania, and God's blessed it big time. And it's a ministry that has an orphanage in Botoșan, Romania. We've been involved in church building projects. We help the poor, and our website is handofhelp.com, and I can't say enough about working with them. You know what? I could write 2 or 3 books about it. I could write the books when he corrected me. I could write the books what I learned from him. I could write a book about the experiences I had with him and Mike, and all I can say is it summed up one word, at least in my mind, in my heart, is obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, that sums up these brothers' ministry.
And like you just said, Gino, we've been throwing a lot of names out here and such about how we're just amazed at what's going on. But if someone could look back at my life, and we could have a call-in show on people that knew Tim in his in his early teens, you know, hey, we're not perfect. I don't know about Gino. I can't imagine he was living like we were down in East Tennessee when we had moonshiners that were illegal. But, you know, we're not saying, hey, you're going straight to hell. We're saying, hey, there's a way out of this. And if you're laying on a sidewalk worried about the he-she thing, you know, you can't be that happy with your life. And there is a Holy Spirit. There's peace that passes understanding. And there is a pathway to where male and female doesn't matter. It's the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, I mean, what we're saying, and I agree. And there's hope in Jesus, you know. Anyone who gets close to Jesus and really falls in love with Jesus will live for Jesus. But you know what? With America the way it is, I was at prayer a few months ago when God said the watchmen have to stay on the wall. They have to stay awake. And we're called to be, stay on the wall. We're called to blow a trumpet. And we're called to warn because it'd be a terrible thing for all these events to happen in America and we were powder puff people, men-pleasing and people-pleasing. You know, we can't be that way. We've got to be God-pleasing. And, you know, if you look at the fact of the areas of America that God showed Dimitri would be punished with fire, it affects millions and millions of people. It affects lots of lives. And if you know this is coming to America and anyone believes it with all their heart, they will look a little bit radical in how they blow that trumpet. You know, they'll be uncomfortable to be around. They'll be challenging. There'll be people of urgency. There'll be people of focus. There'll be people that don't, you know what I mean? Don't mince words and try to really tell people, you know what, God's a holy God and God's a reverent God and God's a pure God. But again, for anyone listening, again, I want to reiterate the fact that Jesus cares. Jesus loves us. And if we turn back to the Lord, you know what, my focus, besides speaking about our ministry and things that are going to happen in our country. In my hometown, my focus is on going out and telling lost souls about the loving, saving power of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
My focus is on showing the love of Christ and showing the poor the love of Christ. You know what? Whatever happens to America, I want to see souls get saved. You know, I want to see families restored. I want to see kids come back to Christ. And as long as God has me in his work, my focus is souls. You know, I mean, my focus is not just to talk about how bad the problem is, but do something about it. And our church is very evangelistic, and we're very wanting to reach lives. We're wanting to show people there's a great God to serve, and I try to do that in the music. And I can't stress enough that people are hurting. They need hope. You know, Muslims are turning to God by the hundreds of thousands in the Arab world. You know why? Because they look at ISIS and they go, hey, I can't follow this. The Lord's given them dreams and the Lord has revealed himself to many of these people and they're turning to Christ by multitudes, you know. So it's an awesome thing.
Well, and people need to realize that there is revival in China. There was revival in Cuba when I went there 10 years ago with my church. But in this country, we're the target. I was in Cleveland, Ohio this weekend, Gino, and the front page of the paper, the Plain Truth or Plain Dealer is what it is, showed, you know, how all the terrorists came to Brussels and came and showed how they had come in as these so-called refugees. And here it is on top of the paper. And it's plain as the nose on your face, there's an agenda to destroy Europe. There's an agenda to destroy the United States. And it's pretty easy to destroy normal life if you're bringing in people that'll blow things up. It's pretty easy to destroy normal life if you're doing weather modification, and it's starting to become so obvious. I saw all this about Prince doing interviews about how he was freaked out about how many different ways American people are being poisoned systematically in the water supply and things in our food and GMOs. Well, you know, I never knew that about Prince had he not died, but of course he probably accidentally killed himself. But that's another part of this judgment of our country.
Arkansas.
The heroin use is going through the roof right now. I had dinner with folks last night that said, you know, that all these EMTs are going around with the, I can't remember the name of the drug, but to try to pop people back who have just overdosed on heroin because it's so, I mean, it's the destruction of America by design. They've brought all this in. I mean, they could stop any of that. They could keep jobs in America, but it's all by design to take this country down. And a little later, we got about 15 minutes, don't we, Harry? Yes or no? We've got about 15 more minutes. I want to go over our planks of the Communist Manifesto again, but I wanted to let you finish up with Dimitri.
So anyways, with Dimitri, he wrote a book called Through the Fire Without Burning. It's a very powerful book about his testimony. I would urge people to try to get a copy of it. It's on our handofhelp.com website. And it details his suffering, his torture. It details him coming to America. It details his whole testimony. And it's an incredible book. You know, basically, after Dimitri suffered everything that he suffered, God brought him to America and showed him one day would be a judgment over our country because of sin. And he showed him four areas of the country that would be destroyed by a nuclear attack. And it was Florida, California, New York, and Las Vegas, and God showed him that the sins of these places have reached God, and he's going to punish it with fire. However, God spoke to him that if the church repents and listens, that's the key, God will protect them even in those areas of the country. And he also put out a book called Dreams and Visions from God with 35 dreams that he had from God about our country, and they're incredible to read them. They're convicting. I mean, they convict you. They're not mamby-pamby things. They're thus saith God, dreams and visions. And Mike's had several of them. He's got a book called Dreams and Visions from God that he's had. I've been with him on some trips where he had them. A year before 9/11 happened, God showed Mike that there'd be a great devastation over an area of America. I was with him when God showed him that. And we believe in God being 100% accurate. And then when God says, I'm talking and this is what's going to happen, we take it serious and we believe God doesn't make mistakes and that it should be 100% right on. And today it seems like so many people want to be a prophet and they want to predict and they want to say this is going to happen in September and this is going to happen in April. But the bottom line is, you know, when God uses a vessel of this, like he did Dimitri, and I've asked Dimitri about it, and he said, Gino, you don't know what God will take you through or take a person through to even be a vessel like that, you know. And he was 100% accurate with the things of God, with the Holy Spirit of God. And his books, to me, are a must-read for Christians. And he has a DVD called Wake Up America that I would urge people to get. And he was a great guy to work with. But I tell you what, you were always on your toes around Dimitri, you know. There's no such thing as, let's just say, there was a bit of fear in my heart at times because he operated powerfully in the Holy Spirit, you know. And so just a great guy to work with. And I want to let people know that Mike Boldea has a blog called Homeward Bound. And I would urge people to try to go to that blog and read his latest blog about standing for righteousness. And Mike's got some books out as well, but our ministry is called by God to warn and called by God to speak about what's coming to America. And for some Christians, they would shut you down in a minute at the thought that judgment's going to come to America or God will punish. But you know what? We're not that kind of ministry. We preach Christ. We try to tell people about the Lord. But when Mike has to warn or Dimitri has to warn, and God shows them things. We're not a ministry that's going to get threatened by the White House or anyone and go, well, we don't mean that, or we're not going to say that. Our ministry says these things because God tells us to say them. And we're not going to back down, and we're not going to cower because of threats or whatever. You know, God called us to blow a trumpet. And I think we're headed soon to the civil revolution. I think we're headed to an internal uprising. I think America will have another great 911 event over it. I believe there'll be a great earthquake, as God's shown. I think we're headed for the most horrendous waters we've ever had as a country. And I think every Christian ought to perk up and go, you know what, I don't want to be half-hearted. I don't want to be halfway. I don't want to be wishy-washy. I want to give God everything. I want to repent. I want to be humble. I want to live clean. That should be the hard cry of the church, you know? And I think the worst judgments of God are reserved for Christians who knew better and didn't live it and took it lightly. I really do. I think it's, the Bible says it's better you didn't even know the way of truth than to trample it. You know, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10. And, you know, God loves the church. God loves people. God loves America. But as, again, Pastor Ken said yesterday, we're more worried about offending people than God. You know, God's grieved. And as much as I'd like to, I'm a guy that likes to encourage people. I'm a guy that likes to really try to build people up and try to give them words of hope. But I also know in my heart that when you see these signs, when you see what's around the corner, I'm not going to hold back, you know, and say, hey, we're in for smooth water. You know, many evangelists think it's all about prosperity and what you get from God and what kind of wealth you have and that. That's not the case. You know, God's a holy God, and what's coming to America, from the White House to the church house, everybody better be aware of it. Everybody better know that the sins have reached God, and he's not going to change his mind if America doesn't repent.
Gino,
amen to that, Gino.
You know, and even if you please your company and please your handlers, if you're part of the so-called system, you know, you're going to have an end. There is an end, and there is a day of reckoning, and you don't want to stand there without the Advocate, the Lord and Savior Jesus,
no.
The Messiah,
no.
Yeshua the Messiah. But I'm going to just. Also, you know, people perish for a lack of knowledge. People say, what in the world's going on here? Well, it's really quite simple, and it's been going on a long time. And Satan came to steal, and destroy. He's about slavery. You know, our Savior, the Messiah, came to set people free, to break chains, to give them eternal life. But the method that our enemy has used for decades, centuries, it's pretty much summed up in, I'll give 10 of the Communist Manifesto planks, and here you probably hear all day long that communism died. But it's so far advanced now that we don't even know what we are.
It's called democracy now.
Yeah, it's called democracy. It's called socialism. But it's old. I mean, at the same time, in the Ukraine, when they were rustling up all this class envy for someone that owned a cow and two sheep, they started programs. It was called Central Planning. And at the same time as that, we don't really realize it, Tim, in the 1930s, at the same time we're building all our TVA dams through Central Planning, they were doing the same thing in the Soviet Union. And I didn't know that till just recently when I'm doing a little like, what in the world's going here? Well, it's going just as... has a central planners
Roosevelt,
plan, and
you know,
and they had to come up with this office called a city commissioner, who is not elected. I can't remember. Is that what they're called, city commissioners? There's an office. You get your master's degree, and you get to be a city guy. City planner. Whatever. You're not elected. But you're part of that club to help city plan all over the United States. Here's just a quick summary of some of the so-called planks of the Communist Manifesto. I had a friend who took a course from Condoleezza Rice in Colorado, and he said the first thing I had to do is go buy the Communist Manifesto. She wanted to teach out of it. That's a good Secretary of State for you. Anyway, abolition of private property and And have we not got there? I mean, don't pay one penny of that property tax.
Yeah, you just lease your property anymore. You don't have any property. You don't own it. Don't own it.
And it can change. You know, hey, if they want to get that property put back into the public trust.
What's number two?
Number two, heavy progressive or graduated income tax.
I never heard anything like that.
Well, and when it started, my accountant had a real nice plaque on the wall. It showed the original tax in 1916, I think. And it was really, you know, if you made at the beginning, it was just like 1% or 2%. I mean, it wasn't too much. But on the high end, it was like 99%. If you made like $100,000, $200,000, they wanted it all in 1916. Except how did the rich people hold on to their money? That's when all the foundations started.
Yeah, well, they're the ones that wrote the tax laws.
They don't own it anymore.
They created the foundations, and then they created the tax laws to protect themselves.
The IRS kind of drives around their house. Abolition of rights of inheritance. There's all sorts of
There's a big tax
regulations
on that too.
On inheritance. It has limits, and also it prevents, you know, it's another way to say theft. You know, thou shalt not steal. Everything about this socialist system is about stealing under the name of spreading the wealth or fairness. You know, that was the job of the church, was to provide welfare. That's, you know, we had Baptist Hospital, Fort Sanders Hospital, Presbyterian Hospital, the Methodist Hospital, the Catholic Hospital. Now, you know, all that power has been shifted to
government. Well, no, Obamacare ended all the charity stuff as far as going to the hospital and somebody paying for it and giving it to you because you were indigent. I don't think that works anymore.
Well, this will never happen.
I think there's bringing back debtor prisons now.
Number four, confiscation of property. Yeah, you know, that would never happen. I mean,
of all immigrants and rebels. And when you read the word immigrants, say American citizens, so to speak.
Well, and
we are aliens to our government.
There's new crime bills, terrorist bills, and if you
disagree, you're a rebel. So they're going to confiscate your property.
And if you have a
what about the confiscating money if you're carrying too much money?
Too much money,
because they think you're doing something illegal, they confiscate it.
If you were arrested, all of a sudden, you know, they can impound,
impound, and confiscate. Yes.
And I've even heard, when some people are sick, I heard on the Jones Show, when people are sick in Austin, Texas, that they find out, you know, there's no one at the house, that they go around, slap a lien on it, even though it's paid for. I mean, it's insane what's going on. Anyway, so credit in the hands of the state, a national bank.
A central bank.
An exclusive monopoly. You know,
central bank.
There's
Federal Reserve.
There's sort of bitcoins and gold and silver, people trying to go around this, but believe me, money's pretty much a monopoly in this country and this world right now. I mean, every credit card works worldwide. Centralization of communication.
Yeah,
and
Harry, you know anything about that? Centralization of communications?
I've got a long list of laws that say it has happened. Factories and production owned by the state. It seems like when we had the automobile thing, didn't the
Government Motors?
Government had to go take over GM and own that. They're ready to do it at any time. And equal agriculture. For agriculture, there's all these laws that if they need to, you know, we can all become farmers again. But
not if you live in certain cities that you can't plant a garden.
But our farms have become GMO, huge.
They're all corporate owned.
Our
food is corporate owned.
In our lifetime, the farmer has disappeared in favor of the huge farm.
He's been bankrupted by the banks.
And I guess the most important thing, you couldn't do all these other things without the education in our government schools free. You know, we're real excited. Our governor in Tennessee also is real excited to offer you even free college, to make sure if we didn't brainwash you enough in the first 12 years, you can get a few more years of indoctrination.
So that's a basic summary of the Communist Manifesto. And sounds to me like we've pretty much got it here in this country today.
Yes, we do. It's plain as the nose on your face. And the sad thing is, all the problems that Gino just kind of mentioned are being just pummeled down our brains. If you watch any mainstream media, they're trying to divide us by gender, by race, by religion, and by age.
And
by,
and don't forget transgender.
And in any way we can divide people, it's going on right now. And our Savior said, "Don't be a respecter of persons." You know, it doesn't matter, you know, king, queen, whatever. And it's time to just make your peace with God. We are on a precipice. There's too much. We're kind of like in a room with 1,000 knives pointed at us, and there's not too many directions to turn. Gino, why don't you kind of take us out of here with a prayer of to counterbalance what I just did, which was kind of negative, but hey, it's the truth. The truth will set you free.
All right, Lord, I pray right now, God, for everyone listening, Lord, point us back to Jesus. Point us back to the living God, the God that forgives, the God that cleanses. God, point us back to humility and repentance. And Lord, you don't rejoice in judgment. You're a God that's probably given our country more grace than most nations on earth. And you don't rejoice in iniquity. And so my prayer, God, is that people would listen to this and be convicted. Be convicted about walking half-heartedly or indifferently. And that people will turn their hearts towards you, Lord. That they'll open their hearts bare before you, and whatever you want to clean in them, whatever you want to change, God, we would get rid of the stubbornness, we'd get rid of the pride, get rid of the dictating policy to you instead of listening to your plan. And my prayer, God, is bless this radio show. Use it to be a voice of truth. Help people to listen. Help people to blow a trumpet in their neighborhood to be an advocate of change and to be a voice of truth. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Gino, it's been a pleasure to have you back.
All right, bless you guys.
City manager, that's the word we were looking
City
for.
Manager.
The city manager, unelected.
All right.
Have a great week, Gino.
Folks, we'll see you on the next show.
And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh.